and were able to stop three or four vehicles from advancing. Still, there are half a dozen or more to deal with. Suddenly, 8, 9, and BK pop up in front of us. 8 lets go of 9's hand and reaches forward to shake mine.
Number 4!
You have no idea how happy we are that you guys are here, I say. 9 shakes 10's and 7's hands and says,
Hello, ladies. I'm number 9.
Hi, 10 says. You can call me Ella.
I'm number 7, but I go by Marina, she offers.
I wish there was time to talk to these people I've waited so long to find, to hear their stories, to know where they've been hiding, to learn their legacies and what's in their chests. But there are more helicopters on the way. We can't stay here and defend this same piece of desert forever, I say. We have to get to 6.
Let's take out these bad boys,
9 says, pointing to the oncoming cloud.
And then we can find 6 and get on with it.
We all turn to watch the approach. Several new helicopters now dot the sky. I look over at my fellow guard and each one looks ready to fight. We've never had so many of us together. Never before have things looked so possible. After all this, we're never splitting up again.
They'll just keep coming, I say. We should just go get 6. Okay, Johnny, the tunnel is that way,
9 says, pointing behind us.
I'll take up the rear and deal with anything that needs handling. You know, snap a few necks, shake things up a bit.
Those of us with chests pick them up. I take the lead, heading in the direction 9 pointed. I scan for traps and move everyone towards the 5-pronged cactus. 7 and 8 are on my heels, with 10 and BK close behind them. There is a steady stream of gunfire behind us as 9 does his thing. He sounds like he's having a party with himself back there, hooting and hollering. Only he would consider this fun. We pick up the pace and don't stop running until we get to the cactus. 9 gleefully fires shot after shot while 8 and I try to deal with the prickly plant, the only thing that stands between us and where 6 is being held. The map showed that the tunnel is right where the cactus stands. Finally, we manage to blow it to pieces using our telekinesis. Beneath it is a thick brown door with a metal handle in the middle of it. As I stand there looking at the entrance to the tunnel, the other guard by my side, I remember what 9 said earlier.
I've been waiting for this my whole life.
We've all been waiting for this. Waiting for the moment when we'd find each other. When the 9 of us would rise up and defend the legacy of Lorien against the Mogadorians. As it turned out, all 9 of us didn't make it. But I know that the 6 of us who are left, as well as the addition of number 10, will do whatever it takes to survive what's to come.
Chapter 28. An enormous Moog charges at me, gleaming swords swinging. I duck under the blade and connect my fist with his throat. He drops his weapon, gasping for air. No sooner has the metal clanged to the ground than I pick it up and behead him. A cloud of his ash engulfs me as 3 more charge. The ash hides me. I crouch low, slicing Moog legs off at the knees as soon as they approach. When I stand, another massive Moog tries to get me from behind. I backflip over him, driving my sword through his midsection as I land. I step through his cloud of ash to find myself surrounded by a dozen more. I don't see Cetricus Ra. I turn invisible. After ripping through another round of Moogs, I look again for Cetricus Ra. I see him at the far end of the room and don't hesitate. I run straight at him. More Moogs appear. I lose count of how many. I leave them all a pile of dust. When I'm within 30 feet of Cetricus Ra, he raises a fist and points it at me, almost as if he can see me. Blue electricity shoots from his hand and crackles along the ceiling of the room, and I feel myself turn visible. Once again, he's taken away my legacies. I knew this could happen, but I feel a pang of loss anyway. Still, I'm ready for whatever he has for me. Soldier Moogs come at me from all sides, but I just keep moving towards Cetricus Ra. When a Moog steps into my path, I rip my sword through his neck. Another grabs me from behind and I cut off his arm. Another comes screaming towards me and I shove my sword through his midsection. At this point, I'm so focused on where I will ram my blade through Cetricus Ra's neck that I barely notice killing off the Moogs. The next thing I know, he's right next to me, and he grabs my neck. He raises me up with one hand until my feet are dangling off the ground, and once again our faces are only inches apart. "You fight well, little girl," he breathes into my face. I wince from the stench. "Give me my legacies back, and you'll see how well." My voice is strangled. "If you were as strong as you think you are, I wouldn't be able to take them away in the first place." "Don't give me that, you coward! If you're so sure you can take me, why don't you do it? Show me how big and tough you are. Give me back my legacies and fight like a man!" I shout. His voice echoes as he bellows, "You use your powers, and I use mine." He tosses me back into the middle of the room, but I barely notice the pain of the impact when I hit the floor. My sword clangs to the ground and skitters away. A soldier sends his sword spinning at me at high speed. My first instinct is to try to stop it with my mind, but my legacies are still gone. Even so, my strength and reflexes are with me, full force. I am going to kill Cetricus Ra, with or without my powers. I reach out with both hands and slap them over the oncoming blade, trapping it inches from my chin. The next second, I'm tackled around the waist, and as I fall onto my back, I rotate the sword between my palms and sink it into the attacking Moog. I'm covered in a blanket of ash as I hit the ground. More Moogs come. I'm destroying them with their weapons, and the justice of that is awesome. I feel stronger with every one I reduce to nothing. I'm also more pissed off. If I have to go through every Moog on Earth to get to Cetricus Ra, I'll do it. Cetricus Ra is just standing there, watching the show. He roars so loud I can feel the vibrations in my chest. My years of training were all leading up to this moment. The only way I could feel stronger is if the rest of the guard were here. We should be fighting him together. I shake off the thought. I will take him out for all of us. After I finish off the last soldier, Cetricus Ra moves into the middle of the room to where I stand. He reaches behind his back and produces a massive double-headed whip that he snaps against the ground. It lights up with orange flames. I don't even flinch. There is nothing he can do to scare or stop me now. I race forward, yelling, "For Lorien!" He flicks the whip over my head, sending a thick blanket of flames over me. I dive under its edge and roll in the direction of his feet. As I dodge his stomping boot, I see several scars branded around his ankles. I register them, but don't have time to think if there's a connection between his scars and mine. My sword slashes his calf just above the highest scar on his left leg, and then I spring to my feet. The mark I made immediately hardens and fades to another scar. He is completely unaffected by the wound. He doesn't even limp a single step. He snaps the whip at me again, and I try to cut off one of its two tails. But when the flames touch my sword, the blade melts. I throw the remains of the sword at him. He raises his hand and halts the weapon in midair. It twirls and glows, and as he stretches open his fingers, the melted blade climbs back above the handle, reforming into a gleaming sword again. He smiles and lets it fall to the ground. I dive for the sword, but when I reach down to grab it, his whip snaps across the top of my right hand. My skin boils and opens, and instead of blood, a hard black substance appears in the gash. I look at it and know I should feel unbelievable pain, but I'm numb. I stagger forward and finally get hold of the sword. Weapon in hand, I circle back around to face the Moog leader. But something is terribly wrong with my right hand now. It won't move. Cetricus Raw cracks his whip again, and I jump out of the way as it flies past me, leaving a trail of flames in its wake. When he raises his arm to pull the whip back over his shoulder again, I see an opening and take it. Gripping the sword in my left hand, I rush at him and plunge it deep into his ribcage. I yank it downwards, ripping his waxy skin apart until the sword is lodged at the bottom of his torso. I fall backwards, looking up at him and desperately hoping I've delivered the final blow, that I've ended the war. No such luck. Though Cetricus Raw grimaces for the first time, instead of turning into a pile of ash, he just reaches down and pulls the sword out of his body. He examines the blade, watching his thick black blood dripping off of it. Then he puts the blade in his mouth and bites down on it, breaking it in half, and lets it drop to the ground. It's like he's playing with me. What's going on? I rise to my feet, calculating quickly what my next move should be. Step one is avoiding Cetricus Raw long enough to figure it out. I wish more than ever that my guard was standing with me. Ella, can you hear me? Nothing. I continue to back away from Cetricus Raw, trying to put more distance between us to give myself a fighting chance. That's when I notice my right hand is starting to tingle. I look down and see the skin around the whip's wound has turned black. As I watch, the discoloration spreads to my knuckles and fingernails. In a matter of seconds, my entire right hand is black up to my wrist. The tingling sensation vanishes. My hand feels incredibly heavy, like it's turned to lead. I look up at Cetricus Raw. The purple scar on his neck begins to pulse with a bright light. "Are you ready to die?" he asks me. "Ella, if you're coming, now is the time. In fact, it's now or never." I want so much to hear her voice in my head, telling me that she and the others are just outside the door. We should be together, fighting Cetricus Raw with our legacies until there is nothing left of him but a worthless, powerless pile of ash. Instead, I'm here alone, powerless, my hand injured and useless. Cetricus Raw is just standing here in front of me, fire whip in hand, toying with me. What is going on?
I take one more look around at the desert, then reach for the wheel on the brown door and give it a spin. After one rotation, I decide to speed things up and just yank it off its hinges. A steel ladder goes down into a black hole.
I can see in the dark, Marina volunteers. I'll go first.
I stand aside to let her get by. Marina climbs down the ladder into the darkness and drops out of sight. Eight tosses her chest down after her.
It's about 20 feet down. Looks like there's a long tunnel,
Marina calls up.
All clear so far. I don't see anyone.
Nine looks at Ella and me and says,
Ladies first.
Ella starts down the ladder, and when she disappears, Nine smirks at me and says,
Well, okay, but I was referring to you, Four.
I shake my head at him. He's nothing if not consistent. He gestures for me to go down next.
You know I love you, man. Get in there.
Using telekinesis, I let Bernie Kosar down first, back in his beagle form, then tuck my chest under one arm and awkwardly climb down using just the other hand. It's musty and cold inside the tunnel. Ahead of me, I can hear Ella and Marina walking and BK's toenails clicking on the cement. I turn the lumen on in my free hand and sweep the concrete tunnel for a few seconds, getting my bearings. I use my lumen to illuminate the distance between our location and a sharp turn far up ahead. Then I turn it off. Marina? You can see to keep us moving, right? 8 and 9 have now caught up to us.
Yes,
she says, and we all start to follow her down the dark passageway. We haven't gone very far when I almost slam into Ella, who has stopped dead in her tracks.
Oh, no. I finally got through to 6. She needs us. She says it's now or never.
Let's pick up the pace, people!
9 calls out from the rear. We run as fast as we can through the dark. I flash my lumen every few seconds to keep us from running over each other. We make a sharp turn, and I wave my hand again to light up the tunnel and reveal what's ahead. The next 100 yards slope downward, and my lumen lights up a concrete door at the end. I slide my chest down ahead of me until it slams against the door. Still sprinting, I turn on both of my palms to give us all a better view. 9 quickly rips open his chest and pulls out the yellow ball covered in small bumps. Like a magician, he holds it in his fingers and then whips it at the door. It bounces just a few inches off the metal before expanding while turning black. Long, razor-sharp spikes explode out of it, and the door is blown inward on impact. The spikes instantly retreat until it's just a yellow ball again, lying innocently on the floor. 9 leans down, grabs it, and tosses it back into his chest, which he closes with a loud snap.
I was hoping that would happen,
9 says admiringly. We all bolt through the doorway. Red lights are flashing and sirens are blaring, attacking our senses. At the end of this shorter passageway, we come to another large concrete door. This one rises as we approach it, revealing dozens of enormous Mogadorian soldiers with cannons and swords up and ready to use.
Mogs, what are they doing here?
Asks 8 in disbelief.
Yeah, bad news. The government and the Mogadorians have teamed up, I say.
Easy pickings,
8 says. 9 nudges me and makes an exaggerated gesture of approval at our newfound guard member. I feel a surge of adrenaline pump through my body that I've only felt in my visions. All of a sudden, I know what to do. I look over at the others.
Follow my lead,
I yell. They nod back at me. I drop my chest, light the lumen in both palms, and rush straight ahead. The last thing I see out of the corner of my eye is Ella scooping up my chest. Just like in my vision, I aim the lumen at my feet as I run, and they catch on fire. The flames climb up my legs and engulf my body just as I reach the first soldier. When I jump, I'm a fireball that burns right through him. He turns to ash, and I keep running. The Mogs I pass swing around 180 degrees to shoot at me, but my flames offer the perfect protection. I lower my head and run with my arms stretched out, effectively keeping any other soldiers away. Marina, 8, and Ella are on the heels of the soldiers, picking them off from behind as I race ahead. 9 has run up onto the ceiling and is battling the Mogs from above. I toss fireballs at the closest ones to me, and in a matter of seconds, they're all torched, leaving a thick cloud of ash and smoke hanging above. I slow my pace when I see the last one go down. When we reach the back of the room, I launch a large ball of fire at the door, blowing it to pieces. I take a second to admire how well that worked. BK even getting his share of Mogs. Though, this is clearly neither the time nor the place for self-congratulation. Maybe 9's rubbed off on me. We all turn to see what's next.
Cetricus Ra has done something to me. I can't move at all and stand rooted in place. At first, I wonder if it's just all the punishing battle or the bizarre wound on my hand, or both. Then I realize there is something seriously wrong, something stopping me from being able to move. I force my chin up to look at Cetricus Ra looming before me. Cetricus Ra has produced a golden cane with a black eye on the handle. He holds it out, and the eye blinks, rolls left, and then right, before it finds me. Then the eye slowly closes and snaps back open to emit a crazy bright